Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Long before the text message or emails or faxes or phone calls or the telegraph or mail or carrier pigeons, signal fires and signal flags, there were messengers who carried their messages by foot or by animal to their destinations. Messengers often did this in very difficult situations. And so it was important for them to have a way to get from point A to point B. In the ancient world, the destination spots were often difficult to get to. And one of the hardest regions in which to travel, one of the hardest regions to be a messenger, was in that section from the Sinai Peninsula all the way through the Holy Lands, up through Turkey and into Greece. It was very difficult and dangerous traveling. It's still dangerous and difficult to travel through that region. Some things, I guess, never change. An old letter by a Babylonian king to a pharaoh of Egypt illustrates how difficult it was. He wrote, "I'm told the way is dangerous, water is scarce, the weather is hot, so I have not sent you many fine presents. When the weather improves, I will send some presents. My caravans have been robbed twice." The need to be able to communicate and how people got to the places to be able to communicate, the roadways, have always been linked. The Romans understood this probably more than anyone else. Immediately after taking over an area with their Roman legions, they began the task of connecting the various populations with roads. This was an era way before the phone call or emailing. Travel was very important for them to connect their widespread empire. But they did it so well, and their roads were considered such an accomplishment that we still have remnants of those roads today. And one can think of the Appian Way, where those cobblestones are still present. It was important for them to be able to communicate to their widespread empire, as it had been before for kingdoms and principalities and powers. The role of the messenger was threefold. The first thing that they were to do was to prepare a region or a place to receive the king or his representative who was going to become. They served as the advance group to make sure that everything was just right. So their job was really to prepare a foundation for those who would come afterwards. They were the messenger for those they worked for. The second thing that they were to do was to make sure that everything was just perfect. And so they were to remove any of the impurities that might be there. Were the places just right for their king or his representatives to stay? They were not to be there to offer punishment, but a warning to the people that everything should be just right. The third thing that they did was talked about how to, or the third thing that they were to do was to bring out the best in the people who were there to welcome the king or the emperor when he arrived. They were to offer the promises of the glory of the empire for those who were faithful servants and welcomed not only the messenger, but also his representative. John the Baptist was one such messenger. He came not because he was working for any lord or king or emperor. He came as God's representative. Notice the beginning of this third chapter of Luke. It begins by listing all of those who were in charge, all of those who were considered to have the most power and influence. It speaks of the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, Pontius Pilate, who was the governor of Judea, Herod, Philip, Licinius, all rulers and puppets of the Romans, in the period of the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. He gives this wonderful picture rooted in history and power and politics. But notice, the word of God doesn't come to any single one of them. No. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, who proclaimed God's new kingdom in the wilderness. These other well-known leaders were nothing more than usurpers. God was going to proclaim God's kingdom. And so the word of God doesn't come to any of them. Instead, it comes to John, as it had come to prophets before him, some 300, 400, 500 years before, as they had to Malachi, our first reading, who comes to proclaim to the Israelites who had neglected the ritual and the law. The people needed to be reminded. And so God sent his messenger to offer reminders, to tell them that the Lord of hosts is coming. The people of Israel at the time of Jesus had longed for this word. For hundreds of years they had waited for this. And now the devout Jews of that region, longing for the new word from God, were waiting in heartfelt expectation for a new prophet, a new covenant, a move from slavery to freedom. They were ready to listen to John. And so they left Jerusalem and the other towns, and they came to the Jordan. Notice again, they come to the Jordan, that place where the Israelites first had crossed, moving from freedom, or moving from slavery in Egypt into the freedom of the promised land that was given to them. Now, here they come again to the Jordan to enter into the waters as they had done as a people so long ago. A new exodus, now moving into their own land. They were there to listen to a message to return to the living, loving God with all of their heart and soul and might, to return back to loving their neighbor in service. This new exodus, this baptism of repentance, of preparing the way for the coming king. John asked them to face themselves, to really look at themselves, in the deep, dark places of their souls, and to seek forgiveness for their sins, to call upon God in repentance, to prepare a new way for God's activity in their life, to go deeper than ritual, to go deep in their own understanding of who they are and whose they were. He uses wonderful imagery of making paths straight, filling valleys, making hills and mountains low, crooked places straight, rough ways smooth. As we read that, we have to look at that ourselves. We have to wonder, what are those rough places in our own life that need to be made smooth? As God calls us to repentance and baptismal renewal, what are those areas of our own life in which we need to come to God seeking forgiveness and repentance? Because we cannot go through those waters, through those Jordan waters, those baptismal waters, without asking ourselves, how will we be different? And so every time on a Sunday when we come at the beginning of the service and seek forgiveness in front of the waters, we too must ask that question, what needs to change in my life to prepare myself for the coming King? Ann Stewart writes, while we can affirm that the coming of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, is good news of great joy for all people, this does not mean that Christ's presence demands nothing of us or leaves us unchanged. Like a refiner's fire and a cleansing soap, the arrival of Christ in our midst calls us to reverent obedience and faithful praise. The good news is indeed that we will not be left unchanged, but that we will be reformed and refined to become like Christ. The messenger has come and proclaims a new world in God's coming kingdom. He proclaims a Messiah. And you and I are also called to be messengers, to be sharers of that good news, to call people to repentance and to new life in Jesus Christ. We too are called to prepare a foundation in our own lives, to remove the sins before us, to seek forgiveness and reconciliation with those that we have offended, but also to hold on to the promise, a promise of a kingdom that is everlasting, a promise that a child born in Bethlehem will be a Savior and Messiah for His people, for you and for me. Will you take on that task? Will you be a voice in a world that increasingly seems like it is a strange wilderness for all of us? Will you be that messenger for Christ, calling the world to love, not hate, to rejoice even in sadness, to be messengers so that people might hear and prepare to receive their Savior Messiah. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.